This is Jim Inkster coming today on the show. We're visiting with Treasurer John Kennedy. He is backing a bill to be offered in the upcoming legislative session that he says would save the state over $500 million by cutting consulting contracts by 10%. John Kennedy wants this money to go to higher education, which he says, and is backed by the American Association of State Colleges and Universities, lost 17.6% of its budget, the highest in America, in the last year. Also on the show, we will talk about the champ, Muhammad Ali. Born in Louisville on this date in 1942, Muhammad Ali, he was one of a kind, and we'll hear why later in the hour. Now the news on 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your local number. Outside our area, please call 877-217-5757. You may reach us by email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. Our guest to start is John Neely Kennedy, the state treasurer. Good morning, Mr. Treasurer.
Jimmy, happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And this year could be an eventful year in Louisiana, as most years are, but you have started the conversation by making some budget requests known, something that you had been passionate about for several years as far as cutting spending that you believe is unnecessary. Your plan has been met with both praise and criticism. What are your thoughts about this cut that would involve reductions across the board in Louisiana government?
Well, I wouldn't describe it that way, first. And I do, but you were talking about the new year. I hope we have a great year. I mean, I think we have some very good things happening in our state. One of those things that isn't good that's happening, though, is our funding of higher education. I mean, I think it's clear our universities need money. There's a way to help them without raising taxes or tuition, and that's reduce our spending on consulting contracts and dedicate the money to higher ed. If you look at an overview of the numbers, our current budget's $25 billion. When Kathleen Blanco was governor, our budget was $19 billion. When Mike Foster was governor, our budget was $12 billion. Over that period of time, we've grown very little in terms of population, and inflation has been low. So I don't agree with my colleagues who say we don't have enough money for higher education. I think we're just not spending it there, but we have the money. Spending in higher education is down dramatically. In 2008, we were spending about $1.6 billion, $1.5 billion out of our general fund for higher ed. Today, we're spending about $525 million. So you can see that's over $1 billion reduction, about 70%.
And that's in how many years?
Since 08.
Six years?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, they filled some of the hole on the backs of parents and students with tuition increases, but we're still down a net of about between $400 million and $500 million. And what I've suggested that we do, we have 19,000 consulting contracts. We're spending about, according to the Legislative Fiscal Office, about between $5 and $6 billion a year on consultants. I'm suggesting that we direct every agency to reduce its spending on consulting contracts by 10%. That'll generate, according to the Fiscal Office, about $528 million. Those are not my numbers. It's the Fiscal Office. That's every year. That's recurring revenue, and we dedicate that money to our universities. It's not enough, but it's a start.
How much, again, do you think that would reap?
The Legislative Fiscal Office has done a fiscal note and says it will generate about $528 million for higher ed.
All right. Well, that's significant money. That's real money. Now, you say we went from state funding 2008 $1.5 billion for higher ed.
We've gone from $1.6 billion out of our general fund for higher ed in 08 to about $525 million today.
So more
about
than
a 67% reduction.
More than $1 billion.
Yeah.
And, of course, 08 was the final, well, it was the first year in office of Governor Bobby Jindal. So all of this happened on Governor Jindal's watch and by design. There's no doubt that this is a philosophical move on his part to curtail spending, and higher education is one of the big budget items. But $1 billion, 67%, is that appropriate?
No, not in my judgment. In 2008, we had finally reached the Southern average for the first time in 25 years in our spending on universities, when we were spending $1.6 billion out of the general fund. We were at the Southern average. We weren't leading the pack, and we weren't last. We were right in the middle. And since then, we've dropped precipitously. This year alone, higher ed was cut about 17.6%. The American Association of Colleges and Universities did a study and found that we led the nation in our cut for higher ed, about 18%.
Right.
The next worst was West Virginia. They cut their universities by 8%. And you know, the way I'm approaching this, Jim, I mean, I think the formula for a better Louisiana is really pretty straightforward. We need real jobs for our adults and a good education for our kids, and I don't think you can have one without the other. If we didn't have the money, that would be one thing. But we clearly have the money. We're just not spending it on higher ed.
Treasurer Kennedy calling for every state agency and government to cut spending on consulting contracts by 10%, saying this would generate more than $500 million. That's per year?
Yes.
That could be dedicated to higher education. Now, the proposal you cite from the American Association of State Colleges and Universities shows Louisiana dropping 17.6% in funding over the last decade.
No, that's just for this year alone.
This year alone.
I'm talking our fiscal year, not 2014.
All right.
13 and 14, about three-quarters of the states raised their spending on higher education for obvious reasons. And we cut ours, and we led the nation in the cut.
Okay, a good question from a listener about how the funding for the TOPS plan is calculated. Obviously, that's an expense to the government because students who are on TOPS have their tuition covered by the government, and if tuition is going up, how is that calculated?
Well, as you know, to qualify for TOPS, you have to have a certain GPA, and you have to have a certain ACT score. We spend depending upon the year, $125, $150 million a year on the TOPS program. I wish it were more expensive because that would mean that more kids qualify and take advantage of it. I wouldn't change a thing in the TOPS program. I think it's done more to keep young people in Louisiana than just about anything I've seen government do. A lot of these kids who stay at LSU or Tech or UL, they have offers from the University of Texas, University of Alabama, or University of Georgia, and they choose to stay in Louisiana, and I think that's a good thing.
Well, much of that cut to higher education could have been offset by a cigarette tax, an increase. If you were governor, as you may be, would you consider that?
I don't think we need to raise taxes, and I don't think we need to raise tuition to fund our universities. In fact, I don't support the tuition increase. I've seen all their statistics that our tuition at our universities is less than some of our neighbors, but you know what? We're poorer than some of our neighbors. And I look at what's happened in America since 1985. In America since 1985, tuition at our nation's colleges and universities have gone up 500%. 500%. That's more than the increase in health care. That's more than the increase in the price of gas. That's more than the increase in the price of a home. It's tuition. Now, if we were broke as a state, state, we didn't have the money, that would be one thing. But just look at the numbers. We've got more money today, adjusted for population and inflation, than we've ever had since this state became a state in 1812. But we're spending 20% of it on consultants. I don't know why. I mean, I look at these consultants. The Department of Education, I'll give you an example. From 2005 and 2010, our Department of Education, and I don't mean to pick on just them because they're not the only ones, but they had 5,499 consultants. They spent $615 million. One of them, contract number, I'm looking at one here, contract number 672113. They gave a $94,000 consulting contract to a California consultant to, quote, this is from the contract, assist students to learn valuable social skills through organized play on their recess and lunch periods. That's not a priority. I mean, my son, my 17-year-old, picked up recess and lunch period in pre-K. He got that part down.
Did he go to a public school?
He did. Algebra 2 is a little different subject. It's not just the Department of Education. We had a I don't know if they still have it, but we had a consulting contract. This is a contract number 708691 for $57,100. We paid someone, and here was what they did. Their job was, quote, to inform and educate the Hispanic community in Rapides and Natchitoches parishes about seatbelt usage. Here's another one from the Department of Education. They gave a consultant $250,000 to, quote, provide valid and reliable data to parents to support informed school choice decisions. That's contract number 674139. Our bill would not direct the agencies to eliminate all consulting contracts. It would direct them to reduce them by 10%. They don't have to eliminate the contract. They can negotiate a lower price if they would like. But it will. It's undeniable that it'll save $528 million a year, and I would direct that money to higher education. And you know, if an agency head says, "Look, I can't cut my consulting contracts," then what you're saying, what that agency head is saying, is that his or her consulting contracts are more important than LSU or Southern or Bossier or Baton Rouge Community College, and I don't buy that. Don't buy that argument. Now, I understand the consultants are going to get upset, and anytime you're spending $5 billion, the people who are getting that $5 billion are going to fight back, and I understand they make campaign contributions, and I understand that they have lobbyists, but, to me, it's a sensible thing to do, and I don't see how, let me put it this way, the House... We've never dedicated the money to higher ed. I want to say that, but we will this year. But the House has passed this bill twice unanimously. I think one time it was 94-0, and one time it was 85-0. It's always died in the Senate Finance Committee because of the governor's opposition. But I'm working hard to convince the governor and his team to support it.
Proposed House Bill 73 would save the state, according to the state treasurer, $528 million per year. Bob Mann, the LSU journalism professor and former Politico, says practically this isn't going to happen. If passed, Jindal would veto it, and it would never become law. He may be right, but you say you're trying. Who are you talking with? Are you talking with the governor directly?
No, with his staff. And I'm talking also with legislators. If we can get it out of the Senate Finance Committee, I think we'll pass it on the floor of the Senate. We just got to get it out of the Finance Committee. The first year we tried it in Finance, we didn't get a vote. Last year we got it. It was a 4-4 tie, so couldn't get it out.
297-5633, 877-217-5757, your numbers. Inkster Show at WRKF.org online. We'll return in 90 seconds, and we will take some phone calls for John Kennedy. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. John Kennedy, the state treasurer, is with us, and he's talking about the bill that he is backing, House Bill 73, saving the state. He says $528 million a year in consulting contracts, 10% cut in every agency. A few questions that listeners have imparted before we go to the phones. Treasurer Kennedy, do the consulting contracts include higher education?
Yes.
Okay, so they also would have a cut amid the increase in funding that would be derived from the extra money the state would save.
Yes.
Okay.
I want to move the, including in higher education, I want to move the money from the consultants to the classroom.
All right, here's another question from a listener. You cited the Blanco, was it her last budget at $19 billion?
I don't remember what year. Wait,
but you said
it was. I think it was, yeah.
Okay,
I think it was.
$19 billion and then Jindal $25 billion. That's $6 billion increase, over a 25% increase. And yet higher education during that time, you say, has been cut from $1.6 billion to $525 million. The listener asks, how can this happen when the budget is increasing?
They spent the money elsewhere. They spent the money in health care. Health care costs have gone up tremendously. If you look at the new provider contracts with our new charity system, the costs are going to go up dramatically in terms of our spending on health care. They're going to try to fill the hole with extra federal money, but the costs have gone up. The costs of the spending on consulting contracts has gone up just dramatically. I mean, I think I gave you a statistic from 05 to 2010, just the Department of Education alone spent $615 million on consultants, and that's one department.
Okay. Dan downtown, we start with you. Dan, good morning. You're on with Treasurer Kennedy.
Yes. Who decides who gets consulting contracts, and do the deciders get financial kickbacks from the contractors?
Well, I don't know about the kickbacks parts. The way these contracts work, they fly under the radar. They aren't really the fault of the legislature. It's the fault of the legislature if they don't try to curtail the spending and the waste, but it's not their fault. They don't issue them. What happens is that each agency issues the contract, and then it goes to the governor's office and the Division of Administration, and they have an Office of Contractual Review. But they don't look at the contract to see whether we really need it. They just check it to make sure the signatures are there. So they kind of fly under the radar. I'll give you an example. There was a story recently. There's a church in New Orleans, the New Light City Church, I think, was founded by a former state legislator. And after the storm, they gave its former representative, Leonard Lucas, he's now a minister. The division gave him $900,000 after the storm to rebuild after Katrina. The legislative auditor did an audit. They can't find $500,000 of it. I'm not saying it was anything wrong. They just can't find it. It's been in the paper. Everybody's in investigating. I checked. He's got 10 consulting contracts with the Department of Education.
How much did they total?
It was well over, Jim, don't hold me to it because I don't have them in front of me, but I know it was over 100,000. I think it was. But he has 10 consultants. He has got a couple with the Department of Social Services, too, now called mm-hmm. Children
All
and
right.
Family Services.
Does the Department of Treasury, does it have a consulting contract?
We do. Our main consulting contract is our banking contract. We have a central depository bank. We bid it out once every 3 years, I think, and the agency, each agency contributes to the cost. The Treasury doesn't pay for all of it. If DSS, for example, or Department of Children and Family Services now uses certain services, they pay for it.
Okay. So you would have to cut 10% as well?
Yes, I'd have to reduce my total contractual spending by 10%.
297-5633 for Treasurer Kennedy. Tommy on I-10. Tommy, good morning. You're on WRKF.
Hello, Jim. Tommy, I'm a big fan of your show, and I think I went to a Louisiana Housing Association board meeting, I guess, 2 or 3 months ago, John, where you were there. And the purpose of the meeting, or one of the items on the agenda was to ratify or verify the contracts that a lot of vendors are getting from the Louisiana Housing Association. And it was really, really cool to watch Mr. Kennedy, as the only member of the Louisiana Housing Association board, question those contracts, drill down into the numbers, and really pin these guys' ears back. And I thought maybe Mr. Kennedy could talk about that a little bit.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate the kind words. When you're spending 20% of your budget on consultants, it's clear to me that, and I'm not saying that there are bad people or anything. I'm not passing judgment on that. I'm just saying that if you can choose to keep doing that, or you can try to reduce your spending and help your universities. And if you choose not to reduce your spending on those consultants, and I know it can be done because I've looked at some of the contracts. I can sit here for the rest of the hour, if Jim would let me, and read to you contracts that you would laugh if you didn't cry. But it's clear to me if we continue down the same road, then it's a decision by the legislature that these consultants are more important than LSU. And I don't believe that. I don't think most taxpayers believe that. I think we're doing serious harm to these universities. And I'll put my cheapness, if that's what some people say, I'm cheap, okay, I plead guilty. I don't believe in spending a penny more taxpayer money than we have to, but we're hurting higher ed, and we don't have to do it. And I would get rid of some of these consultants. I mean, I just look at them and I say, man, we don't need to hire the Hoptuit Music Company. That was one of the consultants that spent your money. We don't need to hire the Smile and Happiness Foundation. These are actual contracts. We don't need them.
All right. You singled out a $19,500 dedication of taxpayer money to the Department of Health and Hospitals for 2 Golden Glove boxing tournaments. What's wrong with that?
I don't think sponsoring a Golden Glove boxing tournament, that's contract number 710616, is more important than keeping a chaired professor at Southern from going to the University of Alabama.
But boxing can teach kids a lot of good things.
Sure it can. But it's not more important than right now than higher education, in my opinion.
In your opinion. Okay. 297-5633. Speaking of money, you have $3 million in your campaign account, right?
Yes.
So are you running for governor?
I'm seriously considering it, but I haven't made a decision.
When will you make that decision?
Well, I think the time is appropriate. It's the election's year and a half, 2 years away. I'm more interested right now in what's going to be happening in 2 months from now instead of 2 years from now, and that's the legislative session is starting, and I've got some ideas that we're going to be putting forth, and I think we'll get some support. I'm just a lot more interested, as you can tell, Jim, right now in policy than I am in the politics. We've got time for politics, and we've got our politics down pretty good. Our policy we're a little short on.
But it really isn't 2 years. It's the election's in October of next year, so we've already cut a couple of months off, 3 months off. And you know, when you run for governor, you just can't ramp up. Well, Bobby Jindal did it. I take that back. He did do it right in the middle of the summer of 2003 and almost won. But that's a rare exception. Usually you have to get out there pretty early.
You can't. That is one approach. There's no question about it.
Well, so right now we know Jay Darden's running and John Bel Edwards is running. David Vitter may be running. If he runs, will that influence your decision one way or the other?
No, it won't. I'm serious. I'll say what I said before. I'm seriously considering it. I hadn't made a decision. I don't want to kid you. I am seriously considering it. I know what needs to be done as governor. I'll do it. I may only serve one term as a result, but by God, I'll do it. But who else is in the race and all that stuff? I mean, I really haven't given that spent a whole lot of time on it, Jim. I really haven't.
But you have run campaigns in addition to being a candidate.
I have.
And you know the dynamics in an open primary. If you have, let's say, three well-known Republicans running and one Democrat, it's quite possible a runoff, just a possibility, would be between a Democrat and one of the Republicans. So there isn't a whole lot of room for error on the right if you have three heavyweights like you and the U.S. Senator David Vitter and the Lieutenant Governor Jay Darden.
That's certainly a possible scenario. But here's my prediction for the next governor's race. The experts will be wrong.
Could be two Republicans in a runoff.
Could be. Could be two Democrats.
That's not going to happen.
We're talking about possibility. I mean, I don't know, Jim. It's a long way away. It really, truly is. I don't worry about our politics in Louisiana. I do worry about the type of politics we have in Louisiana, but we've got our politics down to a fine science and art. I'm more worried right now about our politics.
Okay, I'll let you go after this one, it's the elephant in the room. Your brother's running Jay Darden's campaign. George Kennedy, our dear friend and certainly a combative adversary for anybody, but this would be an interesting scenario. The two Kennedys out there vying for the same office from different campaigns.
Well, my brother George, I love him to death. He's in the business of politics, but he's in the business, and I understand completely. I mean, he's got a candidate who's decided he's going to run, and you got to take the bird in the hand and not wait for two in the bush, and I understand that. I don't take it personally.
Okay. 297-5633 for John Kennedy, who is proposing this bill that is going to be sponsored. Who is going to sponsor it?
D. Richard, and you'll have some co-authors.
Okay, and Senate side, do you have anybody lined up there?
No, we're going to start in the House.
Okay. Leonard asks, there are contractors and then there are contractors. The fault, wasted time and money, may also be a lack of project management mastery on the part of Louisiana leaders. Your thoughts?
I don't understand
well,
the question.
Well, I guess he's saying there's some good contracts and then there's some that are, like you point out, that may be at least subject to scrutiny. So should the leaders be weeding out the bad stuff?
Well, he's right. There are some good ones. That's why I'm not saying we ought to eliminate all of them. I'm just saying cut your spending by 10% if you have to renegotiate the contract. If you've got a $20 million contract with Louisiana as a consultant right now, and Louisiana and the agency head calls you up and said, look, times are tough. LSU, Southern Community College need our help. I need a 5% reduction. They're not going to say no. They're going to moan and groan, call the legislator and all that, but they're not going to say no.
Here's a question from Delia, writing, late in Edwin Edwards' second term, legislation was enacted governing the awarding of professional, personal, and consulting service contracts. What changes have been made in this law to allow the Jindal administration the latitude to award a no-bid $4 million contract for a company to study government efficiency?
You know, I don't know the basis for the contract. I don't know how they let it. I know Alvarez and Marsal, they're good folks. I don't know anything. I read about it in the paper just like y'all did.
$4 million, though. My goodness, you have proposed probably many of the same recommendations that some think tank or consulting firm will come up with. So do we really need to spend $4 million?
Well, what I hope, Albert, well, I think it's done, unless the legislature reverses it. But what I hope Alvarez and Marsal does, and they are a very good firm, I hope they'll go get the report of the Streamlining Government Commission that we spent, including most of the people, well, all the people there were almost all appointed by the governor. We spent, gosh, I don't know, a year on the thing, and most of the recommendations haven't been implemented, so I hope they'll start there.
But they could just dust that off, put their name on it, and send the bill for $4 million to the state.
Yes, they could. They could. I'm not predicting that's what they'll do, because I don't know I don't know anything about this contract. I read about it as you did.
Well, I will bet that when all is said and done, when this firm produces its recommendations, they will resemble the streamlining commission by a good bit. Just a guess.
That would be a good place for them to start, because I'm biased, of course, but I thought we did some very good work, and including one of the recommendations from the Streamlining Commission was that we reduce the consulting contract. So I like that part, so I hope they'll be supportive of this. Yeah. And but in terms of why we hired them and what we're paying them, that you'd have to ask Bobby that.
All right. HB in Denham Springs, good morning. You're on WRKF with John Kennedy.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Kennedy, the film industry head, the other night was on TV, and he came out overwhelmingly against the city of St. George forming to be a city, and they enjoy a 30% tax break. Why are they so much against this, and what is your position on it? Thank you, sir.
Well, I think what you're seeing happening with St. George, and whether we have a new city or not, the problem remains the same. It's a fight over public education. Our public schools in Baton Rouge suck. I mean, that's just a fact. Not all of them, but as a group. And when you're a parent and you're trying to raise a child, you don't want to hear, we're working on it, it's going to be in 20 years, it's generational, and what. You want to get your kid to have a good education, have a chance in life. And that's what this is all about. I mean, wake up, Baton Rouge. This isn't about who controls the money and the taxes and the turf and the power. And this is about educating children. And I certainly understand the frustration.
So you're saying if the people in St. George want to be a new city,
no, I'm saying okay. We got to fix the problem, Jim. I'm saying we really got to sit down together and saying, look, we've got a problem in public education, and you can't blame it all on the teachers. You know, if I were king for a day, you know what my policy would be for our teachers? I'd fire the bad ones, I'd pay the good ones, but I'd do both of them without demonizing the teaching profession. 49% of all of our children born in Louisiana this year will be born outside of marriage. That's not a comment, a moral comment. That's a factual comment. Those kids are going to be raised without knowing the firm hand of a father or the loving hand of a mother. They're going to start out behind in life. I'm not saying a single parent can't raise a child. I know plenty that do. But it is a huge problem. Their home life is a problem. We've got to address all that. I read a report from the Brookings Institution, very, very left-of-center think tank, Jim. You know them well. They did a report. They said if you'll do the following three things in America today, you only have a 2% chance of living below the poverty line.
All right. We'll get those three things when we return from the Brookings Institution. From John Kennedy, the state treasurer, who may be running for governor next year. 297-5633, back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. A few more minutes with state treasurer John Kennedy, always a gracious guest and taking all comers. 297-5633 locally, 877-217-5757 outside the Baton Rouge calling area. As we hit the break, John Kennedy was talking about a report from the Brookings Institute. What were the three things that the Brookings Institute said?
Brookings said if you do these three things, you've got a 98% chance of not being poor. Number one, finish high school. Number two, get a job, any job, even minimum wage. Try to work your way up. Number three, don't get married until you're 21. And before you get married, don't have a child outside of marriage. If you do those three things, your chances of falling into poverty are only 2%.
Okay. Here's a question from a listener who asks about these consulting contracts, saying many of the items are funded with federal grants that can't be spent any other way, and going on and just paraphrasing, saying that you were grandstanding just a bit.
Right.
Your thoughts?
Some of these contracts are funded with federal money. Many of them aren't. Some of them are funded with federal and state. I would concentrate on the state funding and on the federal funding. I would go. We never do this. I'd go to the feds and say, look, you're giving us the money to spend for this. We'd like to shift some of it over to higher education.
All right.
And I guess my third point was we shouldn't be wasting American taxpayer money, federal money, on frivolous contracts anyway.
Yeah. Were the Golden Glove tournaments funded by federal funds?
I don't know. I don't have the contract in front of me.
Okay. 297-5633, Judy on I-10. Judy, you're on with Treasurer Kennedy.
Good morning. I just wanted to touch upon your feelings about St. George and education. As a parent who's had three kids in East Baton Rouge public schools, thankfully, they're doing okay.
Good.
I think the accountability sometimes lies also with the parents. I've heard horror stories from my children about completely out-of-control kids when the teachers are trying desperately to do their job as teachers, and it disrupts the entire learning process. Then when the kids are called to task, the parents scream about, you're misusing my child. So I think that needs to be touched upon as well.
I think you're right. I've been, for 10 years, I've been a volunteer substitute teacher in the Baton Rouge schools. I do it a couple times a year, and discipline is a huge problem. And you don't get back, these teachers don't get backed up by the parents. A lot of times they don't get backed up by the front office. But it's a huge problem, and it's got to be addressed. But if you don't address these problems and we don't improve our schools, people are going to vote with their feet and their pocketbooks. And that's what you see happening with St. George. Whether you're for it or against it, the issue is we want a better life for our kids. And to have that, they've got to be educated, and we're not getting the education with what we have now. Now, that's the bottom line, and a lot of people may not want to hear that, but that's what's going on, in my opinion. I'm a taxpayer as well as a state official, so let me put my taxpayer hat on. You know, the people pulling the wagon and paying the taxes are not getting a return in terms of being able to educate their kids, and they're mad, and I don't blame them.
All right, so $12 billion for Governor Foster, you say, was his budget, I'm presuming his last budget, but it went to $19 billion under Governor Blanco, $25 billion under Governor Jindal, according to Treasurer Kennedy. How much of that is related to federal funding?
We have normally spent, Jim, anywhere from, depending on the year, anywhere from 35 to 40% to 50% of our money is federal money. If you include most of that, the federal money comes from in the form of Medicaid. But the figures I gave you, the $12 billion for Mike, the $19 billion for Kathleen, and the current $25, I took out all the one-time hurricane money, so we were comparing apples to apples.
All right, so you're saying that 35 to 40% from the feds, that's generally consistent, or does that percentage float one way or the other?
It swings. It swings. It's primarily Medicaid. It swings. Most of our Medicaid program, as you know, is federal money.
Now, you have said that the governor might be on the right track regarding his decision to decline the Medicaid money.
Yes.
You think he made the right call on that one?
I do. I studied it. I mean, I spent a long time trying listening to the pros and the cons, and they're good arguments on both sides. But the way we deliver health care through Medicaid in America is broken, and it's got to be fixed. And you're not going to do any good putting a new coat of paint on rotten wood. I mean, when you've got a system where somebody can take a $700 ambulance ride to an emergency room to be treated for acne, and that happens every day, that's not anecdotal. I can show you the studies from PAR. You can't sustain that. You just can't sustain that. The people pulling the wagon can't afford it. And, look, if we want to fix Medicaid, Go read the most recent Medicaid report put out by DHH. Here's the most startling statistic you'll find. Of the $9 billion we spend on Medicaid, including administration, 43% of the money, 43% of the money is spent on 3% of the patients.
Yeah.
We need to find out who those 3% are. I think we could almost hire each one of them a personal physician. That's where the money's going.
Well, isn't it generally true of people of all kinds, Medicaid or else? We end up spending most of the health care money on people who are near death.
Not just near death, chronic illnesses. What a lot of states are doing, they have identified where most of the money is going. They spend some of the Medicaid money to hire not doctors, but nurse practitioners, mm-hmm. who make sure the patients take their medicine, make sure they get their doctor's appointments, steer them away from emergency rooms if it's not an emergency, and steer them to a private clinic. You can save a lot of money there.
Yeah. Joseph says part of the reason why Louisiana needs contractors is that Louisiana is behind the modern world. Do you agree?
No.
I would imagine contractors are used in other states.
Sure. And I'm not saying that they're unnecessary. I'm just saying that if I've got to choose between consultants and LSU, I choose LSU. And I know we can save money in our consultant spending.
Okay. Well, John Kennedy is always a gracious guest, as I said, and he answers questions of all kinds. Last week on this show, John, we had Dawn Wells, who was Mary Ann on Gilligan's Island.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and you know,
great show, man.
She and Tina Louise, who played Ginger, are the only surviving members of Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, where the professor passed.
Russell Johnson, who kind of reminds me of you, and I mean that as a compliment, died at his home in Bainbridge Island, Washington,
yeah,
89 years old. He said,
"I'd rather be him than the Gilligan." Thank you, Jim. I thought you were coming out of left field with you. Remind me of Gilligan. So I kind of like Gilligan.
Your brother kind of reminds me of the Skipper.
I like the Skipper, too.
Yeah,
I love that show. Yeah. I remember watching it when I was a kid.
Well, the professor said he had a BA from USC, a BS from UCLA, an MA from SMU, and a PhD from TCU. Where's LSU?
I don't know. I don't know.
We got shorted.
We did get shorted.
Okay. Well, John Kennedy, thank you. And thank you, man.
Have a great weekend.
Talk frequently. Appreciate
thank you.
You too. Bye-bye. Dave Madden, not the fine author and former writer in residence at LSU, who also is named Dave Madden. 82-year-old Dave Madden, who is Reuben Kincaid on the Partridge Family from 1970 to 1974. He died yesterday in Florida, 82 years old. Today is the 72nd birthday of the greatest fighter of them all, the man known as the greatest, Muhammad Ali, born Cassius Clay on this date in 1942 in Louisville, Kentucky. He won the heavyweight championship of the world February 25th, 1964, in Miami, Florida. Next month, it'll be 50 years for Muhammad Ali as he beat Sonny Liston in an upset. He was an 8-1 underdog against a man who was thought to be invincible. He held the title for 3 years and then was stripped because he did not report for duty in the U.S. Armed Forces after he was drafted. He won a Supreme Court decision unanimously, the court stating that he should not have been forced to fight in a war that he was a conscientious objector of. And mind you, other athletes of Ali's vintage were not called to serve in Vietnam. Athletes were generally accepted from duty, but Muhammad Ali was apparently made an example, and it cost him 3.5 years of his fighting life, perhaps the best 3.5 years of his life. He came back, and in 1971, in the fight of the century, March 8, 1971, against Joe Frazier, he lost in 15 rounds, a unanimous decision, to Joe Frazier. His two undefeated heavyweight champs squared off in a fight that was featuring two men who had not lost, the only time you're ever going to have a situation like that, because Ali was coming back from oblivion and Frazier had won the championship. Frazier won the fight, knocked Ali down in the 15th round, and ultimately Ali regained the crown in 1974 against George Foreman in Zaire on October 30th in another amazing upset, an 8th-round knockout of George Foreman, the first defeat for Foreman. Ali, 72 years old today, he has been battling Parkinson's disease. He fought so many fights against top-flight contenders and champions that He took many blows to the head through the years. He was rarely knocked down and never knocked out, in his long career, which included victories over just about every reigning heavyweight of the time, and this was the glory period for the heavyweight division, and Ali made it so. He was the best of the best, the greatest. And here's how he sounded in 1971 in an interview with Michael Parkinson, who did three amazing interviews with Ali, a British interviewer. Ali talking, and this was after he had lost to Joe Frazier, and he wasn't talking about the loss to Smokin' Joe. He was talking about other things, in particular, the touchy issue of race. Muhammad Ali, 43 years ago.
And I always ask my mother, I said, Mother, how come is everything white? I said, why is Jesus white with blonde hair and blue eyes? Why is the Lord's Supper all white men? Angels are white, Pope and the Mary and every, even the angels. I said, Mother, when we die, do we go to heaven? She said, naturally, we go to heaven. I said, well, what happened to all the black angels when they took the pictures? I said, oh, I know. If the white folks was in heaven, too, then the black angels were in the kitchen preparing the milk and honey. She said, listen, you quit saying that, boy. I was always curious, and I always wondered why I had to die to go to heaven. Why I couldn't have pretty cars and good money and nice homes now. Why do I have to wait till I die to get milk and honey? And I said, Mama, I don't want no milk and honey. I like steaks and I said, milk and honey is a laxative anyway. Do they have a lot of bathrooms in heaven? So anyway, I was always curious. I always wondered why. You know, Tarzan is the king of the jungle in Africa. He was white. And white man. I saw this white man swinging around Africa with a diaper on, hollering, Do you all see Tarzan over here?
Right, Tarzan? Yeah.
And all the Africans, so he's beating them up and breaking the lion's jaw. And here's Tarzan talking to the animals, and the Africans been there for centuries, and he yet can't talk to the animals. Only Tarzan can talk to the animals. I always wonder why. And Miss America was always white. All the beautiful brown women in America, beautiful suntans, beauty shapes, all type complexions, but she always was white. And Miss World was always white. And Miss Universe was always white. And then they got some stuff called White House cigars, white swan soap, king white soap, white cloud tissue paper, white rain hair rinse, white tornado flow wax. Everything was white. And the angel food cake was the white cake, and the devil food cake was the chocolate cake. I said, Mama, why is everything white? I always wondered, you know, and the president lived in the White House. And Mary had a little lamb, his feet as white as snow, and snow white. And everything was white. Santa Claus was white. And everything bad was black. The little ugly duckling was the black duck, and the black cat was the bad luck. And if I threaten you, I'm going to blackmail you. I said, Mama, why don't they call it white male? They lied too. I was always curious. And this is when I knew something was wrong. Won the Olympic gold medal in Rome, Italy. Olympic champion, the Russian standing right here, and the Pole right here. Is Poland considered a communist country?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm defeating America's so-called threats or enemies. And the flag is going, ton, 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 ton. I'm standing so proud. Ton, 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 ton. And I done whooped the world for America. Ton, 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 ton. I took my gold medal, thought I'd invented something. I said, man, I know I'm going to get my people freedom there. I'm the champion of the whole world, Olympic champion. I know I can eat downtown now. And I went downtown that day, had my big old medal on, and went in the restaurants. At that time, black things weren't integrated. The black folks couldn't eat downtown. And I went downtown, I sat down, and I said, a cup of coffee, a hot dog. The lady said, we don't serve Negroes. I was so mad. I said, I don't eat them either. Just give me a cup of hot dog.
That was Muhammad Ali in 1971. And mind you, that was after he lost to Joe Frazier. He never lost his spirit. And that's why I'm sure he continues, despite his affliction, to be a man of great character. Muhammad Ali, 72 years old today. His last victory as a professional fighter was September 15th, 1978, in the Louisiana Superdome. That was when he captured the championship for a third time, beating Leon Spinks, who had dethroned him earlier in the year, and Ali won the championship at the age of 36 for a third time. So that was half a lifetime ago for the man who was truly the greatest. He was the greatest in the ring. He was as quick with his mouth as he was with his fists, and of course he was a spectacularly handsome man. Norman Mailer had a good portion of his career, and what a writing career he had, writing about the travails of Muhammad Ali, including the 1974 book, one of Mailer's classics, The Fight. That's it for this week. For Michael Farrar, I'm Jim Inkster. We thank you for listening, and we'll be back on MLK Day. Until then, we wish you a great weekend, and stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Inkster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Inkster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.